Blog Talk Radio.
Hello out there. That is cat people, also known as putting out the fire. It's a song recorded by the English singer-songwriter David Bowie, released on the title track of the 1982 erotic horror film Cat People. Recorded in July 1981, the song was written by Bowie with an Italian producer, Giorgio Moroder. The 1981 recording has been described as one of the finest of Bowie's recordings in the 80s. A re-recorded version of the song, created a year and a half later, appears on the album Let's Dance from 1983. And David Bowie is, or David Robert Jones, professionally known as David Bowie, and he was the leading figure in the music industry. He's regarded as one of the most influential musicians of the 20th century. He was acclaimed by critics and musicians, particularly for his innovative work in the 70s. His career was marked by reinvention and visual presentation, with his music and stagecraft having a significant impact on popular music. During his lifetime, his record sales, estimated at over 100 million records worldwide, made him one of the best-selling music artists of all time. In the UK, he was awarded 10 platinum albums, 11 gold and 8 silver, and released 11 number ones. In the US, he received 5 platinum, 9 gold. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1996. Rolling Stone placed him among the list of the 100 greatest of all time and named him the greatest rock star ever, following his death in 2016. Hello out there, it's Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. I am here with my big brother, my partner in crime, my friend Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter.
Hey. I figured he was struggling through lyrics in that recording. 1982, that was for Cat People, the soundtrack?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the movie itself,
if I remember correctly, was nowhere near as popular as the song. Like, it didn't top any box office records or anything. But the song's good. And personally, I liked the movie, but, you know, it's a matter of taste. But... again, we are A Team of Voices Radio, and we hang at allpoetry.com. It's a free poetry site. If you are a member, look us up on the groups page, A Team of Voices. You can knock and come hang out with us. If you're not a member, it's free to join, and then you can knock on the groups, A Team of Voices, and come hang out with us. If you want to call and participate, the number is 1-646-668-37, and we have a couple people to let in. Right now, I'll just take them in order as they call. The first caller on the line is actually the poet we are showcasing tomorrow night. It's Dave Prophet. Hi, David.
Hi, Deb. Hey,
glad
how's
you're
everybody
here
tonight? Oh, thanks.
We're doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
I hope
good.
You're resting up your voice for a lot of reading tomorrow.
I have it. Yeah, I am. I'm thrilled. I'm just thrilled.
And make sure you bring some ice water with you to the phone, just saying.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm looking forward to your show. Oh, actually, for everyone who's listening, the show is tomorrow from 8 to 10 Eastern time. It will be hosted by none other than Jay Hatter, and of course I'll be there. And I
Good.
Hope to see you all there as well. Now, right behind David is my Monday buddy, none other than Liquid Damage, a.k.a. Linda. Hey, Linda, welcome to the show. Linda, are you muted?
Come in, Linda.
Linda? Okay, if you can hear me, we can't hear you. Either speak up or maybe try call back just in case, because I need to hear you. And right behind Linda is the one and only Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne.
Howdy, how y'all doing tonight?
Hey, Wayne.
Well.
I'll be there tomorrow.
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
I'm tired, but I'm hanging in. Get out in the yard, paying rent again.
Yeah.
I can't get my hair set to work tonight. I don't know what's going on with it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm just going to be on speakerphone.
Okay, well, if you feel hot breath on the back of your neck, that is the Queen of Canada, Lady A. Hello, Lady A.
Lady A.
Oh?
Lady A.
How are you?
Glad you're here. And
glad
right
here.
Behind Lady A is Stephen.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Hey, Stephen.
Welcome
hello.
To the show.
Thank you. And we lost
Stephen, have
power.
Have you ever seen cat people?
Me?
Yeah, Stephen, my movie buff. Our movie buff.
The one
cat
with, is that the one with Malcolm McDowell?
No, I think that's Fright Night.
No.
I don't, I guess it's possible. It's where literally the people, like rather than werewolves, they turn to cats. It's sort
yeah.
of an, I wouldn't call, it's like an erotic horror.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yep.
I started off the show with the song from that, and it made me wonder if you'd ever seen it. And then let's see, Linda's right behind you. Linda?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, thank you for dialing
great.
Back.
Yeah, I don't know what was happening. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I don't know either. It happens now and then. It's happened to me on shows. It's happened to Frank. Sometimes we just can't hear the person on the line, but I hear you now. Now,
right on.
I am going to grab Stephen's poem and... so that he can get ready for that mortuary, and we will take it from there. And you sure don't sound like yourself unless you're just trying to be really quiet. But I'm grabbing your poem. I love the photo that you chose, and I can't wait to see
lost power here. We lost power here, and I'm running on data right now because everything's still trying to turn back on. So we weren't even sure the mortuary was going to happen, but everything seems to be getting back to normal.
Okay, well, there is your poem, so you can kick us off, and we will all sit back and listen.
All right. Yeah, I like the photo I chose, too. And I call this, the purr of the lion is only meant for one. Chestnut wall of hardened carbon life, soft to the touch of sweet, splendid fingertips, peering eyes viewing hidden flat scream idioms, soda can snarling, flippant diaphragm roar, lashing goad. Take repose within my steel ribcage, rest weariful head upon my bearded mane, coat of fur for fens from jaded icy leer. Fear not my whetted ivory fangs, these sharp teeth would never perforate your soft silken skin. Only those with malice grins and veiled, hurting, malignant pretensions need panic of my harsh bite or the scratch of my knife-like claws. For they will see their crimson flesh torn from bone, red meat to make its way through my tracks, into brown piles of what they were all along, covered with sniffing, chewing insects in the green grass, rotting deep in the woods, forgotten. End poem.
Wow. Okay, for starters, my favorite part is only those with maliced grins and veiled, hurting, malignant pretensions need panic of my harsh bite or the scratch of my knife-like claws. I like the forebodingness. I like the warning that's being put out, and it's stone cold obvious that there's absolutely not a drop of malice in that woman's body because she's like laying across his mane. So can't imagine who you might have been referring to in that aspect of it. But this is awesome. For they will see their crimson flesh torn from the bone. I think the descriptions are bold and vivid. I think that, like I said, I can't speak enough of that stanza and the message in it. Quite often, if you're straight up above board, you don't have anything to worry about, and that's one of the best ways I've heard it said of in a really long time. You did excellent. Oh, and since our last conversation, Mr. Steven, I remember specifically pointing out that you broke or you hit the 100 mark. Well, now you're up to 105, so you are belting out the tens. Congratulations. Let me get you some comments. Let's see here. How about Dave Prophet?
Oh, I like this. I thought it was really good. I too like that one stanza that you like, Deborah. For they will see their crimson flesh torn from bone, red meat to make its way through my tracks into brown piles of what they were all along. That's pretty cool. That's a good way to put it, you know. Covered with sniffing, chewing insects and green grass, rotting deep in the woods, forgotten. I can think of some people like that. I like the segue that you put into this thing in, from the start to the finish. I thought it was really cool. So it was an interesting prompt, as usual. I don't think it's a boring prompt that Deborah Lee does. She just doesn't have that in her to put up some crap. So I think you did it justice. I think you did a really good job on it, and I liked it a lot. I thought the use of the word bank and all of the colors in it and stuff were spot on. So well done, Stephen.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Linda?
Yeah, this was one of your better ones, I believe. I love the prompt, and you wrote for the prompt. I thought it was awesome and very cool, and I just love being a part of a lion's digestive system. That was great, fun. yeah, it was very descriptive strongly written. I think you did a really great job on this, and I was glad to read it. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Linda.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Wayne?
Well, I want to stay on the right side of this line here. I don't want to be lifting a brown pile of whatever it is, rotting in the woods. So she's a pretty bad cat. Just tell her to put the cat down on her side. This is a great poem. Good job with it, and I enjoyed your read. You did a good job reading it. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome.
And Hatter, want to comment?
Yeah, this is a picture prompt, a word bank, and colors, right?
Sure is.
It just never ceases to amaze me. It sort of felt like at the beginning you were worried about the word bank, but you settled in at the second, and then it eased up a bit and had a storyline a little bit to the picture. I thought it was well done. I always feel strangled a little bit when I got a word bank to worry about, but that's just me. I'm impressed with you guys doing that.
Yeah. Actually, you want to know something funny is I had the whole thing written out, and then I realized, oh, man, there's a word bank. So I had to kind of do a rewrite.
Oh, man. Do you know that if that happens that I would have known it was unintentional and everything would have been fine, but it's pretty awesome that you went back and threaded them in and did such an amazing job. I mean, damn, Stephen. I had to hold on to it. Say that again?
I cheat. I just do the picture.
I did. Who said that?
I said that.
You said that? Oh, wow, I'm surprised. It's okay. Linda, did you read your inbox?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay, no, it's okay.
Inbox
just
you're
go check it. I sent you a message. And in the meantime, Stephen, can you stick around while we do Kay's recording? Because we always start with you two, or do you want to push the show and go?
I can stick around for Kay's recording. That's cool.
Okay, cool. Well, her link is on the board, everyone. So I find it quite interesting that all you know what was breaking loose around Miss Kay, and her power was going out and her cable was flicking, and she managed to send a video for me real quick just in case they couldn't get back online. So thank you, Kay. Now here is her poem. I'm pushing play right now.
Polly Wobbles, Nora's Gentleman by Kay. Summer smiles upon glistening waters, veil of touch, emptiness upon the night. The arriver crops his demise, through semblance of a slip-throat existence. I silently weep inside, my inner death keeps the fluxes alive. A tar of death, vapor is a curtailment, declivity watered down the misbending of palmistry. Vulnerability of translucent fog, blandishment, the sleight of hand. Veneration honors the cognates of blood-leaden onslaught. Quickness is a blight and stealth. Root the stripes of snarling teeth. Wildlife and poachers. Waterfalls of hurtin' is her song. Blondin, ebony's evergreen rusted of stripling frog. Oxblood the onyx breathed and swallowed. Remind me of the quickness. Scout the underfootin. Coop the grace, eventuality, malaises, mortification. Terracotta, backwards, claws against ivory. Emulations of a coden, names the ivies of ribboned friendship. Gutter snipe foundlings, nurturing fabrics of mirthlessness, understanding. End poem.
Wow. Let me find something to say except just how amazing she is at threading these words together here. I love the opening, summer smiles upon glistening waters. And you think, okay, so where are we going to go? Veil of touch, emptiness upon the night. The arriver crops his demise through semblance of a split-throat existence. And there I've got a uh-oh in my gut. I silently weep inside. My inner death keeps the fluxes alive. That sentence right there. I silently weep inside. My inner death keeps the fluxes alive. Okay, that would be one of those lines that the next time we decide to do a bring lines that people say they wish they wrote, here's one you can add to your list because I wish I wrote that. That's awesome. And then towards the end, remind me of the quickness. Scout the underfooting coup de grace eventually. Malaises, the mortification. I think that the story here is really awesome. I can't say enough about that line. I'm so jealous that I didn't write it. Very, very impressive. I'm going to repeat at least a piece of what I say every week is that you're one of the best abstract poets on the site. Excellent piece. And I will get. Save you for last, Stephen, so you can push your show. So how about if I go to Wayne?
Here I am. Yeah, this is a wonderful job of this poem. Just enough abstract to make it entertaining, but stuck to the prompt well and great storyline. I followed all the way through, and it was a very, very good poem. And he's just a little over my head, but this time I could comprehend most of it, and it's a very good job. I enjoyed it.
And Dave
Pocket. Well, I like the last line in there. I thought it was really descriptive, and it's a good way to wind the poem down. Gutter snipe foundlings nurturing fabrics of mirthlessness understanding. I've read some mirthless stuff before. I've even heard some music written that way. So I thought that was, I like that. I like the, let's see, one, two, three, the third stanza down, root the stripes of snarling teeth, wildlife poachers, waterfalls of hurting is her song, blonding ebony's the evergreen wrestled a stripling sprog, whatever sprog is. I don't know what a sprog is. Right? Anyway, I thought that was a really interesting assembly of words, and they really jump out off the page at you. At least they did to me, anyhow. I like this. I'm trying to learn calculus, and I told Kay the other day when I was talking to her on the site, I said that her poetry reminded me of upper mathematics. So I'm starting to learn this stuff from her, and I think she's just a wonderful poetess. She's really improved. I remember reading some of her first stuff, and the difference between that and this newer K that we're seeing here is in light years. I mean, it's just that much better. And it's okay. I really like this, and you're outstanding poetess.
Awesome comment. And Linda, please.
Yeah. Okay, I like this one. It had a touch of sadness, and when sadness fills us to the point of upset or unrest, the gentleness is what cures our woes or to repress them. And you brought this out. You had some great metaphorical verses and awesome use of the word bank. You created a beautifully eloquent piece of art here. I'd like to read it again because your stuff is very up there and intelligent, and there are a few words in there that I'd have to look up. But all in all, I thought your piece was beautiful. Thank you for sharing it.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, will you comment for Kay, and then you can tell us what's going on at the mortuary?
Yeah, well, I do know, I see a lot of stuff in this. Usually the first time I read my own wife's rights, I don't quite get everything from them until after she tells me a little bit about it. So I do know that there's actually some personal stuff in here. But I also know that my comment was, is that our fur babies lately, our cats have been entering her poems as her therapy, like therapeutic purrs and muzzles. So I see that with using that prompt that way is perfect. I thought this was awesome.
Great comment. And thank you again for that sound out, Kay. And go ahead, Stephen, please. I'm sorry.
Yeah, tonight at the Mortuary of Shadows at 11:30 p.m. Eastern over at Aquatic Slice of Life, it's another episode of True Crime, and we're bringing the man who inspired such movies as Psycho and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Silence of the Lambs, Mr. Ed Gein, Mr. I'm Going to Take Your Face and Wear It. It's going to be an interesting one.
My friend.
Yeah, I had to mark my poem for tonight with the words in capital graphic. So I will see you over there. Thank you to you both, and love and respect. Now the next poem. The next poem on the board is Wayne. So Wayne, if you would click and take us away, please.
All right. And here's called The Lady and the Lion. And I enjoyed this, right? I read all the word bank except for the one word buffalo. So all the other words in this poem. And it was a great...
Wow.
It goes like this. Broken-hearted lady with ebony top hat, wearing crimson cashmere, praise for cat. While blonde moon glowing, a brown lion appeared. Lion was gentle, his snarling she never feared. She would scratch his fur coat, comb his mane. He was thankful he had chested hair and ivory teeth without stain. On redwood deck, lion would decide to stay. His terry collar tail, young maiden would play. Sniffing green grass, new wildlife lived in the woods. His roots were in jungle, where he catches goods, where rhinoceros and elephants had room to roam. Cheetahs and leopards and giraffes called home. In the forest, deer and antelope ate berries and plants. Mice and hares avoid insect larvae and mocha ants. Turtles, salmon, and fish stay alert in crocodiles' waters. Pigs and lizards try not to get themselves any hotter. Claws of beasts no match for poacher's gun. Scouts track claws for meat. Animals had to run. Lady herding made potion of orange rust and tangerine limb. Gave it to poachers and stripes. Killed all of them. In?
Wow. Awesome, awesome use of the word bank. From the very first line, broken-hearted lady with an ebony top hat. So now, to me, she's there to feel better. To it's like she came to get calm from being with him. And then we get the lion was gentle. His snarling, she never feared. I love that. It's the sentiment that, you know, that the beauty tames the beast kind of thing. And she feels safe because, I mean, who's going to mess with her while she's sitting with a lion? And she
right.
feels protected and loved. So I absolutely love the concept right from get-go. Sniffing green grass, new wildlife lived in the woods. His roots were in the jungle where he catches goods, where rhinoceros and elephants had the room to roam, and cheetahs, leopards, and giraffes called home. And that part, just the, when you added the, when they had room to roam, put me some pictures of these animals in cages flashed in my mind, and that was my exact thought when I saw them. You know, they shouldn't be there. They should be out in the jungle somewhere, and that made me think of that. And at the end, claws of beasts no match for poachers' guns, and then it broke my heart. So, like, you had me going up and down and back and forth with the emotions. I think you did fabulous with this, Wayne. I love the story. I love the feel. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Great
comment. Let me give you some comments. Lady A, would you like to comment on Wayne, please?
Yes. I forgot again to put the colors and stuff in my poem, so I'm trying to scramble here a little bit. I got all caught up with the picture. And Wayne, I love your title, The Lady and the Lion, and how she's brokenhearted. And I love the fact that he's willing to submit to her touch, and letting her pet him and scratch him. I thought that you did a really good job with talking about the other animals roaming and calling it home, and then you spoke of the poachers, which is a really serious state of affairs in those places, and I really liked what you did. You really used a lot of, if not all, of the word bank, I think, eh? And just a really beautiful poem.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I got another 10 out of this one, too. I'll just look at this one.
Awesome comment. And how about Hatter?
Yeah, who's the artist? Do we know? Because that lion's got to be Photoshopped. That is so well done. Anyway, the broken-hearted lady with the ebony top hat wearing crimson cashmere. Was cashmere a word bank word?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was well done. Right?
Thank you.
One other place. Redwood Deck Lion would decide to stay at his terracotta tail, young maiden would play. Yeah, what King of the Beast, I like his tail play. Oh, God.
Hey, babe.
Linda, did you want to comment, hon?
Oh, sure. Wayne, you amaze me on a week-to-week basis, how some of your stuff is so hilarious and straightforward, and then how you can get so deep into a loving, caring peace. You know, animals know when we're sick or we're sad. If you just take your dog and watch it when you're not feeling well, how it reacts to you. And even in the wild, wild animals know if you're sick, because then they'll go after you. They know that you're not capable of taking care of yourself. But I thought this poem was very lovely. It had great imagery. But besides all of that technical stuff, it had a lot of feeling and emotion in it that really caught me off guard. So I think you did an excellent job on this, Wayne. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you. Yeah, my cat's my best friend.
What's that?
My cat is my best friend, so I got a feeling for cats.
Ah, yeah, so you know. Right on.
Oh, yes. Thanks for the comment.
Sure, anytime.
Tibbs.
Deborah.
Wait, Dave?
Huh? Oh, you want me to comment on it? Okay.
Comment
on
Wayne and then read your poem for us, please.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do that. Claws of beast, no match for poacher's gun. Scout track paws for meat, animals had to run. Lady hurting made potion from orange rust, tangerine limb, gave it to poachers in stripes, killed all of them. I read an article one time about what Africa was doing about the poachers, and I thought it was kind of interesting. They said that they hired a whole bunch of mercenaries to go over there and hunt poachers down. So they went over there and blew them all away. You know, I could get behind doing something like that, you know. But anyway, I thought this was a real interesting poem. You know, animals know a lot of times animals get testy with you or aggressive if you corner them or frighten them somehow. And a lot of times we don't understand that we frighten them. And, a lot of times people will stick their face down around a little dog or even a kitty cat or something and get real close to them. And animals are, you know, they're saying, hey, you're in my space, you know, and you keep doing that, and pretty soon they'll bite you, you know, and then everybody goes, oh, good damn kid, you know, and that sort of crap. So, but anyway, I thought this thing was put together really well. The rhyme and meter on it was good too. So well done, Wayne.
Thank you very much, Dave. See you tomorrow night.
Awesome comments, everyone. And thank you again, Wayne. David, yours is up there.
Okay. I got the idea for this poem by listening to this sound clip on the bottom of my poem. It's by a band called Enigma, and it's called Fata Morgana. And I thought, well, boy, this thing just fits this gal here to a T. I have the picture of the white tiger and the lady in the background, and it's called The Illusions of Fata Morgana. Sorceress of the mirage, white tiger's familiar, topaz eyes, inside jungle vision, queen of the forest, queen of lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Guardian of the woodlands, Yosiva, her great white tiger, retribution of claws and incisors, 675 pounds of focused fury, tiger's gaze and snarling topaz dares you to move. Fata holds the sword of Zolorfla, tattoo of her forearms, on her forearms, from the guards on the handle, twisted snakes around the pommel to the ricasso, protects her enchanted hands, long ivory fingertip and onyx, cast pitch-blend recollections in the shadows of necromancy. She'll make a believer out of you. Tangerine illusions of her thaumaturgy. Fireflies float over poacher's teeth, all that's left from Yosiba's herding, their oxblood hues in the moonlight, stand thee off from slaughtered rhinoceros. Make no trespass upon elephant's grass. Only waterfalls and wildlife sanctified bear thee witness to the forbearance of the human condition of no of rust to brown, unto the waste in crimson aphrodisiacs, Asian hocus pocus, scratch and sniff. She will not abide such a waste. Mistress of a potrake in ivory, wears the coat of midnight that bleeds the crimson lifeblood of the forest on the inside of her. Wolf and witch's distance from Yosiva bears no approach, evergreen forest sense, the mirages of Fata Morgana, upside down, right side up, all around, leopard's illusions, so near yet so far away, her redwood spell-casting plays to the unclean spirits of those with dark hearts and no souls. Beware this forest queen, lurker in the woods, platinum jungle paws and pinstripes, her quicksilver licks in an onyx mane, streaming off of her in a tumbleweed wind. You'll know her when you see her. Stand very still. End poem.
Wow, Dave. Guardian of the woodlands, Yosiba, her great white tiger, retribution of claws and incisors, 675 pounds of focused fury. Now, there is a description, and you're sitting there, and you're reading that, and you're thinking, but look how gorgeous and calmly that cat is sitting there, but every word of that is true, especially that the claw and incisors with 675 pounds of focused fury, because they get that tunnel vision, and it's just like, man, oh, man. And then tiger's gaze and snarling topaz dares you to move. I love that part. make no trespass upon elephant's grass. Only waterfalls and wildlife sanctified bear thee witness to the forbearance of the human condition of rust to brown. I love where you threaded in your crayons to add imagery in each of the stanzas. But I really, really love the fact that there's so much truth in there. After, of course, the clever addition of lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! But yeah, that one stanza there, where it to me says it all. Because yeah, there's a guardian there, but there's also a 675 pound killing machine when necessary. great details as always. And then the last three words, stand very still. It's like, can I breathe? Because it's just like, you know, imagine pissing that kitty off. Don't want to think about it.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right?
No, not
great
even.
Job. Great job, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lady A, what did you think?
I thought it was great. I got to get back to it. I'm sorry. I just finished working on my adding the colors and stuff to mine, so I'm very sorry. So, David, your poem, I like the sorceress and the white tiger, and them being the guardian of the woodland. And I like your description of the tiger's gaze and his snarl and the topaz. You threaded the colors through this really, really nice. And some of the words I have to look up. And necromancy, that's I've seen that before. I forget what it means, so.
Well, it's kind of like black magic in a way. Have something to do with raising the dead once in a while. It just depends on the application, how it's used, that's all.
Okay. And again, you talk about, you know, the poachers and the rhinoceros and the elephants and how sad all of that is. And in some countries, they're really criminal for it because they use it as aphrodisiacs and, you know, tigers. Stuff there, it's really horrible. But
well, yeah,
I think that, you know, you did a really great job on the whole thing, the Platinum Jungle Paws and Pinstripes, her Quicksilver Licks in an Onyx Mane, steaming off her in a tumbleweed wind. You'll know her when you see her and Stand Very Still. I thought it was really great. And I love Enigma. They have some great
Oh, yeah, pieces. So do I. Yeah.
So those are really
Well, thank you. Thank you, Lady A. One of the reasons that I put that thing down in here, let's see, where is it? Oh, now that I'm looking for it, I can't find it. It talks about the Chinese were famous for making aphrodisiacs and magic potions and stuff out of rhinoceros horns. And that's where that whole thing about the rhinoceros came from. Or it says right here, it says, unto the waist in crimson aphrodisiacs, Asian hocus pocus, scratch and sniff. That was... you know, kind of a reference to why those rhinoceros used to be slaughtered the way they were, and that's why I put it in there. I can't believe killing an animal for just one of its body parts. That's criminal. It's just absolutely criminal, you know. But well, thanks for your nice comments, Lady A. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome.
Awesome comment, and Wayne.
Yeah, they did a good job. It was a great poem here, you guys. I love the tiger. It's one of my favorite wild animals. It's they're more or less from India and Southeast Asia and China. They're not as much from the jungle as lion is. And I painted about 15 of them in action in the wild in their home setting. So I like to love the tigers. And they're beautiful and they're extremely dangerous. And you gotta be aware of them. If they see you, there, you don't have much of a chance of getting away unless you got some kind of weapon, because they're fast, they're deadly, and they don't take no crap from anybody. I love it. Your poem was a wonderful poem. Your poem was wonderful. You did great with the prompt, and I enjoyed listening to you read it. I like the whole lot, and I think the poachers ought to be the tiger's next meal. I like the intensity of this poem. You did a great job.
Absolutely agree, man.
Very true. And before I get a comment from Linda, let's say hello to Frank. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show.
Hello there, my friends. It's good to be on board, as always. Good to enjoy your company as well. Hello there.
Glad you're here.
Yep, I'll be right back.
My pleasure.
Okay, Heather. Linda, will you please comment on David? Linda, are you muted?
Linda. Yes, I was muted. I'm sorry. Anyway, what a cool story you've written, Dave. I mean, really cool. You have
Thank
such
you.
The imagination, and I thought this was smooth and intricate. It bared a sinister tone and had wonderful metaphoric charm. You caught a very seductive and enchanting vibe in this. I as well had to look up some words and still need to look up a couple words, but all in all, what I got out of it was very sinister and enchanting at the same time. I thought you did a really great job, Dave. Keep writing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Linda. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Awesome comment. Now, before, Hatter will be right back, so I'm going to put Lady A's poem up. But before I do, I just wanted to put a little link on the board and point out the fact that I added a new topic board this afternoon. It's called the Sound Booth. And if you guys click on it, you see it's a room where you can go and check out our show or the show from the other groups. All you have to do is just click play, and it'll whatever the last episode was. It doesn't play the live one, but whatever the most recent episode was, you'll find it here. And you scroll down, you'll see there's also the most recent show of a Poetic Slice of Life, and then either the International Cafe or the Soul Asylum show with Cal Asama and AP.
whichever was their last episode. So that sound booth is an easy access to all three shows. If you are sitting there one night and just need to listen, they're all in one spot. So hopefully
great.
That is something you will utilize. And in the meantime, let me grab
that.
Lady A's poem because she has to go.
Can I just say I appreciate that, Deb. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Frank. I'm going to have to try to make a, to make a point of being able to participate with you guys as well. I joined your group.
I
didn't realize it was a group.
I
should go looking more often. I just thought it was a show you did every now and then through Soul Asylum. I didn't realize it was another group, so now I'm a member. But Lady A, please take us away.
Okay, and my poem is called His Royal Highness. Upon the Serengeti, His Royal Highness with cashmere brown mane rests, pained, plagued, perplexed. Green eyes see a habitat unchanged for a million years while deep in reverie. Tumbleweed grass has reached to lands unknown where cheetahs run, where man harmoniously lived with untamed wildlife while antelope, like antelope and giraffe. Protectors of the land, Maasai, stabilized, preserved, and prized. His Royal Highness Lion ponders life now seen. Protectors have perished with COVID-19. Great Serengeti, a haven for beast, fowl, and man. Who now will defend? Lion heard a story where he would under waterfalls lay down with a lamb. Spoken about the end of times, viruses, plagues swallow up the land. Fools have ruined nature's good, destroyed all hope in man. Laboratories conjure destruction. What end, Lion asks. Slick ebony oil spills in the ocean. Chemicals orange and rust poison rivers. All animals quiver. Dumping onyx waste, gas lines underground. Greed consumes until we drowned. Upon the Serengeti, His Royal Highness rests. Heartbroken as lion wonders perplexed. He watches wildebeest, zebra, buffalo, and gazelle, one of Africa's seven wonders, the great migration gone to hell. All the beauty that is Serengeti, now a memory of the past, lion cries and wonders why. He now waits for his time to die. End poem.
No.
Oh, man. Man.
When I saw that picture...
I was kind of afraid. Go ahead.
When I saw that picture, that's exactly what ran through my mind like 100 miles an hour.
The picture's stunning, isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks for that, for sure.
But I was already enthralled by the write and the details as it went along, but I kept waiting to see if it was going where, I mean, you mentioned COVID and everything else, so by the time you got to all the beauty that is Serengeti now, a memory of the past, lion cries and wonders why he now waits for his time to die, and it's just like, it ripped my heart out there because, like, the thought and the truth of the amount of land and flat-out homes that were taken from these animals, the only saving grace for me is that I can picture him there at least. If he's going to die, he's going to die in his home and he's not in a cage somewhere. I had a lot of mixed feelings there. The poem's amazing. Like I said, it just so tugged on my heartstrings. Man, oh man. And let me see, where is that? Fools have ruined nature's good, destroy all hope in man. Laboratories conjure destruction to wait. To what an end, Lion asks. oil spills in the ocean, chemical poison. I mean, it's like pulling every tragic truth from the headlines and putting it in here and using that gorgeous picture to bring big time awareness to the situation. And before I get you some comments, that particular, what I just said reminded me of something. We are in the midst of our new series that all the hosts and hostesses are welcome to participate in. And there, I know there's things that we all would advocate for if we could. So, Lady A, you should be thinking of what you might do when it's your turn. Right now, this month, Sweet and I are tag teaming on whales. I'm waiting for a response about the June. And then in July, or is it August? It's August, I think. Sweet Pea's doing hers. But anyway, if you guys, as a radio host, would start thinking of what it is you'd like to advocate for, it does not have to be an animal.
Okay.
Whatever it is that tugs at your heartstrings, that you preach about, that you wish you could do more to change or fix or aid, that's what I want you to get up on your soapbox and push. So if you guys would think of what you might want to advocate for and get back to me so that I can work these into the schedule. We're doing one every month by a different host, and I want everybody to get a chance to stand on that pulpit. Now, let me get some more comments for this amazing poll. Let me start with Frank.
Well, that was, first of all, it was, I think this was a very, it was an epic piece here. Very beautiful. It invoked such compelling emotions and imagery. It was very stunning. I'm just flabbergasted here by this piece here. I would say I'm amazed, actually. The way you just interwove here, the storyline here, the prompt itself, I could not help but just pulling, tearing for the line here. And you did a masterful job here with the narrative here. This was superb writing. This is probably one of your best storytelling pieces that I've actually read from you of this of this nature here. It was just priceless, very priceless work here. You wrote, you incorporated all the word bank there that I noticed there. You added more words into this piece here. But that notion of the Serengeti is one that's very, although I've only been to Morocco and Africa, I still haven't ventured far below to know and see the wonders of the Serengeti. But I would love one day you just painted a beautiful imagery of the Serengeti and of course of the lion itself. This was just beautiful. This belongs on the front page.
Oh my goodness! Thank you so much, Frank.
You're welcome.
What a fabulous comment. And Lady A, I have a quick question. Sky says that she should be able to call at 11:15-ish to do her poem and wondered if you really had to leave before she read. So just saying.
it would be cutting it really short for me, but I'll try. But if I drop off, I apologize.
I just want to relay the message. How about if Wayne, would you like to comment for Lady A?
Well, of course. I think it's a great poem, and kind of at the end of it, it reaches its bone the way that mankind just can't leave anything alone in its civil wildlife. It's amazing. No animals get to live in peace anymore. I don't understand this monster they call progress. It's all done in the name of progress, which is ridiculous. We have to destroy everything we touch. This poem is touching, it's emotional, and it's sad, and it's great, well written. And I enjoyed it a whole lot, but I sure did put a bad tone tonight for me. I hate all these animals just getting destroyed. Great, great poem.
Thank you, Wayne. Thanks so much.
Awesome comment. And Linda?
Yeah, Lady A, that was just an awesome, awesome story. You know, I almost picked that picture because the emotion on that lion's face is so fantastic. He is like the optimum personification of what your story told, just how bad things can get when people do stupid things. And
yeah.
we have created some extremely bad situations for ourselves without any thought of what it's destroying, how the animals really do feel about what's going on. And I think you brought that out here, which is a really terrific thing. This is a great advocate story. And, you know, I hope you go somewhere with this. Good job, Lady A.
Thank you very much. In the process of doing this poem, I read some about the Serengeti, and I just put some of it in my author's notes, if I may. The Serengeti ecosystem is one of the largest and oldest in the world. The climatic patterns, flora, and fauna are among the most scientifically important on the planet. And the habitat is believed to have remained unchanged over a million years. And the success of this ecosystem is attributed to the Maasai community, the Maasai people, who have lived side by side with the animals and the environment. And they have fought long and hard against progress, against having the modern world encroach on their land by putting buildings and putting all the awful things that I mentioned in my poem. But the Maasai people are almost, and those that support them, but they have lived in this Serengeti for millions of years, and they attribute the virginity of it to those people, and I think that's amazing.
Just a funny little footnote. My grandmother married a Maasai warrior
by
oh, wow. accident, and they wouldn't let her leave the tribe. It was
it's really
funny.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Now, Hatter, are you back? Are you balk?
I'm balk.
You balk?
Hi, Hatter.
Were you balk in time to hear Lady A or no?
No, I just got here.
Okay, that's what I just wanted to check, just in case. All right, well, your poem is on the board, so will you read for it?
Okay. It's called, I Was Lying About the Tiger, but couldn't bear it at all, after all. Was he lying to the tiger, or did he bear it to the crowd? Sometimes things are not forgotten. Sometimes they play it all too loud. Tiger stalks and lion eyes, thinking he might analyze, but bearing down up the pain and home was home once again. Barely there, in rounded squares, playing corners around the banks, taking even from the odds and bowing down to give it thanks. Simply said, when nearly dead, pray to even out the odds, holding back on muddy tracks, dancing for the lazy dogs. Cannot stay in private play, appearing bored to say the least. I need to know where tigers go so I can stalk the beasts.
Wow. Wow, Hatter. For one thing, between the title and the intro, that was like really cool. The tiger, but couldn't bear it after all. Too cool. I mean, I was lying about the tiger, but couldn't bear it after all. But I could almost see your grin when you wrote that. I don't know. I think it's really cool. Was he lying to the tiger, or did he bear it to the crowd? Sometimes things are not forgotten. Sometimes they're played all too loud. There's that lyrical perfect meter that you always have going. Let me see. Barely there's in rounded squares, playing comes around the banks, taking even from the odds, then bowing down to give it thanks. You're a trip, Hatter. I don't think, well, I've said before that I think I can always pick you out, but I remember that one line that got me good when Crystal did those lines there. I would have, if I had any, I would have bet money that was you, and it wasn't. So you have such a signature flow and lyricalness that person totally got me. But this is awesome. but I love the clever play on words. And see, I'm already grinning, and I totally forgot that you didn't use any crayons or song lyrics or any other thing. There was no song lyrics in this one. But yet, you brought a spectacular poem. And I like, did you have to put the three of those pictures together? Or did you actually find something with lions? Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Yeah. Very cool. Just like you.
Yeah.
Just like you. Let's see here. Dave, you want to comment for Hatter?
Yeah, I do. I remember the first time I heard one of Hatter's poems, and it was almost magical, the way he put things together. And I think he was talking about one of his early love affairs. I don't know, but I was just fascinated with it. And Hatter has a magic about the way he writes. It's you know, just, I don't know, it's got his name all over it. It's really easy to recognize, like you said, Deb. And I thought this poem was really, really cool. It kind of makes you laugh right at first, and then you start going down through it, and it sort of shifts gears a little bit about in the middle. Barely there in rounded squares, playing corners around the banks, taking even from the odds, then bowing down to give it thanks. Those two last lines in that stanza are really cool, I think. Taking even from the odds. That's a nice, juxtaposition of words, I think. And then bowing down to give it thanks, you know. A lot of times we just take things for granted, and we don't step back and bow down and think how cool they really are. And that's kind of what I took away from that stanza. Simply said, when nearly dead, pray to even out the odds, holding back on muddy tracks, dancing for the lazy dogs. I like that stanza really well. The whole poem is, if there's a favorite part in it, I don't know what my choice would be. I like all of it. And I think you did a really fine job on this, Hatter. Well done.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Lady A?
Well, you know me. I love everything about Hatter. And I think that, his sing-song rhyme and I like the title. I was lying about the tiger but couldn't bear it after all. Your humor is epic, and I love the rhyme in it. I love the content. And I cannot stay in private play appearing bored, to say the least. I need to know where tigers go so I can stalk the beast. I love your rhyme. Excellent, always excellent music in my ears. Beautiful.
Thank
and
you.
I love, I like Stalk and Lion Eyes. There's a few little songs in there, too. I like that.
Yeah, Lion Eyes. And I did smile when I figured that out, the title. Too good.
Yeah.
Great comment. And Frank?
Yes, I could not help but think of that line there used as lion, tigers, and bears on my. This here was a very creative, I thought it was a very innovative write, and I enjoy about our good friend Hatter is that whatever piece he writes, he's always has that, I know that the effort and time he puts into his pieces might not seem noticeable, but it is. You know, you have to, rhyming is not just an easy thing, you know, even to an impeccable speller sense, it does require practice, and not only practice, but it does require also talent, something of which our good friend here had to have. This piece here was also superb, an example of superb cleverness, and I did like the analogy there of the tiger and the lion there too. This piece here, as I said, it's just a wonderful, wonderful display of creative writing.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank, very much.
Oh, you're welcome, my friend.
Some comment. And Linda, will you comment for Hatter and then read your poem for us, please?
Sure. Wonderful, Hatter. You always seem to pull out a couple of outstanding verses in your poems. I'm not saying that they're all not good. I'm just saying that you always make a couple of them above and beyond the norm for great. I cannot stay in private play, appearing bored, so that, to say the least, I need to know where tigers go so I can stalk the beast. That is just an awesome, awesome verse. But above all, it was very wonderful. I have a verse in my book about the chasing of human and tiger, and it kind of reminded me about how easily the hunt could turn and he could be the chased. I thought it very, very cool. But this whole poem was really neat, and the imagery was fantastic. But, you know, that's all technical stuff. I just wanted you to know that I find some of your art to be just outstanding. Thanks for sharing this, Hatter.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, we take for granted there are places in India that they fear the tigers coming in, Bengal tigers coming in and dragging children out of their huts in the middle of the night. And what a thing to worry about.
Right.
What a thing to worry about. I mean, my Lord. Worry about my electric bill.
Yeah. Then you've got to worry about the cobras over there, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you very much, guys.
Awesome comments, everyone. Thank you, Hatter. And Linda, if you refresh the page, you'll see yours and read for us, please.
Yes, I will. Okay, I'm going to have to go way back. Do, 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 do.
Nice picture.
See if it brings it up. There it is. Voila. Okay, this is called The Beast. And pay attention to the picture. It goes like this. One day I was playing with friends, having a whole lot of fun. We were jumping and hopping and rolling around, enjoying the afternoon sun. Then there in my path was a glorious path. Now there in my sight was a glorious path, one with a flower array. So off I departed all by myself down the pathway so I could play. Up in my head I hummed a quaint tune, so then I wouldn't be so afraid. It kept my mind in a bubbly mood as I walked along in the shade. I walked down the path to the creek following a giant leapfrog. It took me down to a pool in the creek infested with large polywogs. I played with the polywogs there in the pool, and boy, I had fun in the least, until I looked up and standing right there was a large and ferocious beast. We stood and we stared into each other's eyes. I shivered with fright where I stood. At first, I didn't know what to do or what this great animal could. While I was thinking just what to do, the great beast took a step back. I prayed in my head that this great animal wasn't going to attack. I stayed very calm, just like I'd been taught, so not to scare the great beast. All I could think of was how scared I was and prayed he wouldn't make me his feast. Then a funny thing happened. The great beast held out its arm. I wasn't sure if it meant well or if it meant some harm. I couldn't help it. I neared it, and in return it neared me. We got pretty close and then realized we were both braver to a degree. We looked at each other with regard, but still both a little afraid. But one thing came into my head then. We're both wonderfully and beautifully made. Then came a voice that was calling, Susan, come back to the park. You know you shouldn't be out here. soon it will be getting dark. That's when the great beast reached out her hand and gently petted my mane. I only wish deep in my heart that I could have done the same. At that, the great beast turned and walked off, sending a wave of goodbye. I was so sorry our friendship cut short that I got a tear in my eye. The moral? It's all in the eye of the beholder, who is the beast and who's not. I hope from now on you will see this, because this is the message I brought in poem.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Talk about rhyme and flow. That was like great meter, great story, great flow, great emotion. My goodness, I think this is my new yours. And I absolutely loved that, but aside from all these great details and the rhyme and the flow and the adorable picture, I really, really loved that you ended the poem with the moral of the story. That never-ending eye of the beholder story, who's the beast and who's not. Sometimes the most beautiful things and people can be the least beautiful. And I don't mean on the outside either. Sometimes the most beautiful outside are the ugliest inside. I hope from now on you will see this, because that is the message I brought. I see it, I also believe that this is my new favorite of yours. This is fantastic. I want to get you some more comments, but let's say hello to Sky first. Hey, Sky.
Hi, Sky.
Hello. How are you guys?
Glad you're here. I did try to get Lady A to hang on, but okay. I was going to say, she did have to go. I will get your poem on as soon as I get some comments for Linda.
I just wanted to say something.
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say something about, because I don't know if I made it clear. I kind of tried at the end to make it clear that the whole poem is from the lion's point of view. You're thinking it's from the little girl's point of view, but at the end when it says that she petted my mane and walked away, it kind of was to flip that the story was from the lion's point of view, not the little girl's.
Yeah, I thought it was clever and brilliant all the way around. I did think it was from the lion, but yet it's so amazing. Let me go to Hatter. How about that rhyme and flow, Hatter?
Yeah, solid rhyme. It rhymed clear through it. I like the storyline throughout. It was well done. And I did catch that. The little girl reached out first because he used the pronoun she. So I didn't catch that was well done. It also reminds me, there was a recent story of a young 5-6-year-old little girl that was lost in the jungle or whatever she was. And she tells the story that she was protected by a group of lions. Mm-hmm. People are finding out how to read this yet.
Cool. Great book. Thanks, Hatter.
Yeah.
Awesome comment. And Dave?
Oh, thanks, Jim. I was hoping you'd call on me. I really like this. Linda's rhyme and meter is always right on the nose, and this poem is no different. I like the – I agree with what Hatter said about the storyline. I really like the storyline in it. A lot of times, you know, people, young children and stuff, if their parents don't infuse them with a whole bunch of nonsense about some things, a little girl like this might not even be afraid of a lion. She just wondered. But, you know, I mean, sure, it'd be reckless not to caution your child about a wild animal or something, but what I'm saying is that there's, you know, kids don't know to be afraid of something. They don't know how to hate something unless it's programmed into them, you know. And I kind of got that from this poem, you know. I kind of got that from this poem, and I like the way that you did that twist on there. I always like to I always like to read the animal's viewpoint of things and how they think. And it's fun to write that way, too. I've written a couple of poems about dogs. So I've had dogs all my life. And it's really challenging to try and, you know, write what's going on in the dog's mind from a human's point of view. But I thought you did a really good job on this, Linda, and I really liked it. It's got some nice sentiment in it, and it's got some good information in it, too. And everybody should read a poem like this. Everybody should. You know,
thank you. Yeah, I had fun. I had fun making the little girl the beast. I thought it was kind of funny. Because she looked in the picture, she looked so sweet and demure, like a little tiny sweet thing, and I made her this great ferocious beast. From the point of the lion, that's what she was. She was another beast.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
Awesome comment. And Sky, were you there in time to hear?
I didn't, but I read it while everybody was commenting, so I can comment if that's okay.
Please.
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely brilliant. The way that you know, most people would read this and they would innately just go with the lions to be, but the way that you twist and turn that really makes someone look to themselves about how, you know, without even realizing it, you put pretext and pretense on so many things. And it is true, the beast is in the eye of the beholder. And on a lighter note, you guys ever seen that Men in Black when all the monsters are coming out and he shoots the little girl and he's like, she's the only
right.
So, I mean, I think it really makes people think about how they look at the world, and it's all about perspective. And I do like how daring and bold this child is. But I like even more that the monologue is from the lion's point of view. And you don't give it away till towards the end, as most people, you know, myself included, would have assumed the lion would speak. But when you make girls speak, I just think it really, really cements the idea of, you know, book covers and, like I said before, the sense of what we think, what we know, versus what is reality. So we really, really love this. What a great message. And it was beautifully written, wonderful rhyme. Of course, I really love the polywag. So,
wow. Thank you, sweetheart. That was wonderful.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome comment. And Frank, will you comment for Linda and then read your poem for us? Frank, are you muted?
Uh-oh.
Frank?
No, the vision.
Can anybody hear me?
Yeah.
I wonder what happened to Frank. Says he's still here. Okay, not a problem. Let me just move him back one, and we will do this. Oh, okay. Oh, I can't hear you. Do you want to dial back, and I'll have Sky read, and then we'll do yours after Sky's, because none of us can hear you. Please. And Sky, there's your link, if you'll read, please.
Yes, thank you. I just can comment on this piece. I wrote... get back to that. I wrote a love poem, and I'm only saying that because I think a lot of people miss that because it was obviously two female characters. But it is a love poem. It's not one person. All right, this is The Shifter, The Huntress, and The Dandelion by Sky Dark. She walked alongside the shifter of Dandelion Wood, the half moonlight of blonde curls and birdsong skins, a pale ivory blush and red berries that creep before. And when sun would sink to peace in the honest skies, she loved still her wheat-colored fur have any flaws. The octopus that shines center stage in a rim of pale chestnut in the west desert. And she, with a reflection of deep jungle green, of stippled autumn and burnt sienna cheeks, with the burgundy below, catches light in both morning aurora and twilight deep. Knew those deserts of grief and the smiles that played upon laughter's bell spring. Knew both souls of lioness lost, like two coins that should never be divided. She was the hunter who had not heart to hunt. The root of her words lay in the breast of beauty, a beast of beauty, rich forest grass and wind, a dark green and tall tree, marbled with rhodo, still of time, a faint jasmine grain.
Can you read your author's note quote too, please?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this was from the dandelion, the English lineage name, represents half lion. And I kind of leapt from a quote from a book I read a few months ago called Ash by Melinda Lowe. And it was, she dreamt of the woods, tall dark trees, the shaft of sunlight that shone through the canopy to the soft forest floor. She could smell the spicy pine, the dampness of bark after rain, the exotic fragrance that swung in stitching, and the scent of jasmine. She remembered the night blooming roses that hid, never felt the touch of a human hand. Oh, I butchered that. I'm sorry.
Thank you, though. That's an awesome quote that you included down there. But now back to this poem. For starters, I have to tell you guys, I was given her this poem in like the middle of the. I mean, I'm sorry, not the poem, the photo, in like the middle of the night. And she had picked from a state park photo, and I had her a little bit excited about this, and she said to me, I really got to go, but your prompts have got me all psyched up, but I got to get some sleep. I'm like, all right, we'll go to sleep. And I started doing something, and the next thing I know, she's back with this poem on the board, and it was like, I like to get hit with the first impression, so I never read them ahead of time. So I was like, oh man, I can't wait to see what you did, because you were so inspired that I hope you got a little bit of sleep that night, but somehow I doubt it. But like, okay, for one thing, I was saying this earlier with one of the lines that was in Kay's poem, but right now, I am completely enamored by this couplet. And when sun would sink its teeth into yawning sky, she loved still her wheat-colored fur and ebony. But, oh, my goodness, and when sun would sink its teeth in yawning skies, that is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant metaphor. And I am oh so jealous, wish I wrote it kind of one. Wow, love it. And then towards the middle, wisps of burgundy willows catching light in both morning's aurora and twilight's eve. The imagery there is just breathtaking. And I could, in this, I could just keep giving you pieces of these couplets and being like, wow, the two coins that should never be divided. It's so many pieces, but that part there, the two coins that should never be divided, and it made me think of situations where children have no place to go, and instead of being able to stay together, they get split up into foster care. Well, you would think it would be the same with the lion's pride, because like now, where's the rest of them? You know, was she separated from, or who was she separated from? So I had all kinds of different emotions going through me. Oh, and one more thing, and then I'll let somebody else talk about this, but with a reflection of a deep jungle green of stippled autumns and burnt sienna cheeks. Stippled autumns, another brilliant phrase. I love this. I like the quote that you chose to add to it. I love the picture, and because of the huntress, and there was something about her. Well, of course, you know she's a gorgeous redhead, but I also got the feel of like the Hunger Games. So I didn't know where you were going to go, but where you took it is absolutely amazing. And I did wonder where the dandelion wood came from. So I love that quote. I'm just all the way around. This is excellent. It was well worth the wait, Sky. Beautiful piece.
Yes. The lion is a great picture. That's why the two coins shouldn't be divided. It's a lion, and then she was happy because she was a great picture.
Well, I love it. I'm going to have to save this one. Before I get in the... Frank, say something so I know we can hear you this time.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay, cool. I do hear you, and I'll have you comment last right before you read your poem. So let me get a comment, this masterpiece from Dave Prophet, please. David? Are you muted?
I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I was. I'm sorry. Okay, anyway. Like I was saying, to the dead microphone on my phone, I like the first stanza. It sort of sets the poem up for the rest of it. She walked alongside the shifter of dandelion wood. I really like that, the shifter of dandelion wood. That's cool. The half moon light of blonde curls and bird song skin, a pale ivory blushed in red berries and cream liquor. Wow, that's really rich. Sky's real good about writing stuff like that. She's really clever with the way she connects things together and stuff. I also like the couplet down here. It says, the oxblood glint that shined center stage in the rims of pale chestnut and maize-flecked deserts of grief. Wow. That desert thing there, that adjective, that noun really, really opens that whole meaning of that line up wide open. That's really cool. I like the storyline in this. Most of all, though, I like the way all the words were used, and it was very picturesque. It's one of those kind of poems that you read, and it just grabs onto your suspenders and yards you right into it, you know. And so I thought this was really well done. Good job, Sky.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Hat, are you there? Want to comment for Sky?
I sure am. Yeah. You could have just read the title and then said it in the poem. That would have worked. It was a great, great title.
You.
Yeah, your ability to tell the storyline in your work is remarkable, and this is no different. Guys.
Thanks, Adam.
And Linda, please.
Oh, yes, this was lovely. Sky just is always the enchantress. She writes such lovely mystical poems that get into my brain and take me away into a story. And this was a very, very lovely story. I love the idea of the huntress not able to hunt. That is so romantic. I think it brought great, great love to her story. Thank you, Sky, for sharing this. I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you, Liz.
Awesome. And let me let Sweet in. Hey, Sweet.
Oh my goodness, this is beautiful.
Sweetie, won't you be my girl?
Yes.
Glad you're here. Did you want to comment for Sky before we go to the next poll?
Yes. Well, you both the lie. You both souls of the lioness and the lover. Like two coins that should never be divided. Oh, God, that's such a great line. And then she was the huntress who had not the heart to hunt. For the roots of her world lie in breath of beast. This is so gorgeous. And just, I mean, how beautiful is that picture, by the way. Yang is just gorgeous, and the ability to tear yourself apart for two loves is absolutely incredible. Sky, I am totally in love with this. This goes to my Sky list. Gorgeous, beautiful, both words, absolutely in love with it. Thank you.
Awesome. Very awesome comment. And Frank, will you comment for Sky and then read for us, please?
Well, by all means. First of all, this is very exquisite here, very exquisite poem. I thought it was a wonderful display of exceptional writing. I agree with what Sweet and everyone has said. It's just very, very good writing here. And this narrative and the imagery here, experience here, Sky, was very exceptional. I mean, it was remarkable, the story you gave here. And I love that little reference to the dandelion that you provided there in the author notes there, because I almost felt that feeling there. You just brought this sensation in me of just some imagery of trying to imagine everything that you write here. You did a masterful job here with this particular poem here, and I noticed that you threw in all the words from the word bank there, but you added your own colors as well and your own imagery there. And I thought this piece was just breathless here. I thought it was one of your best pieces, I would say. I mean, I have to agree with Sweet here. This was just beautiful, gorgeous.
Thank you.
Welcome. All right. This is a piece here.
Hold on for me for just a half a second. Sky, do you want to push your show or shows in case you have to go? Because I know you had to do a read and run, and then we'll have Frank read. Sorry, Frank. Thank you.
Thank you. I am going to sneak away, but I will bookmark your poem, Frank. This Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm over at Poetic Sun. Volume 5, Lord of the Rings, continues. and we've got two more shows of those. So, yep, be there. I've got lots of prompts up. And that's all I got. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. I got your home bookmark for it, but I am going to send you away. I just got home before I did.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you for calling, and we will talk soon. And Frank, go ahead and take us away, please.
All right. Well, I don't know if I'll take you away, but I'll give it a stop here. This is called Queen of the Tigers, and it's, first of all, thank you for that prompt. And it goes like this, Queen of the Tigers. Majestic claws, impulse, a mighty beast of the jungle, breeded from the wildlife he poses with his long tail, with his vivid dark stripes, his auburn and ivory coat, his long tail a masculinity, his sharp teeth a ferocity. Before the colors of crimson in a tangerine bright horizon, above the turquoise waterfalls and amethyst crags of the cliff, beside the queen of the tigers, knelt in a pale platinum dress, exuding her caramel soft skin as her brown eyes pierced proudly. Before the great tribes amassed, she rules the kingdom of animals. Of her faithful companion there, she rises to her feet to be revered. The antelopes, the birds, the cheetahs, the elephants, the giraffes, the leopards, the pigs, the rhinoceros, all look on in admiration in the poem.
Oh, what an amazing ending. I love the thought of that, the charm in that, all looking on in admiration. It's such a warm pleasant thought there. And the second stanza, with his vivid dark stripes, his auburn and ivory coat, his long tail of masculinity, his sharp teeth of ferocity. The descriptions here are fantastic. And what was that you were saying about not knowing if you were going to take us away? Come on, give us a break.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, between the wording and listening to you read, it's fabulous.
I appreciate that.
I think it came out great, and I very much appreciate it. And before I get another comment, I believe, hello, Roy.
Hi, babe.
How you doing, hon? Glad you could make it.
I'm good. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
Very
hello.
Lovely.
Hello.
It's hard to keep telling myself to say Roy when I want to say Momo, just saying.
Hi,
but
Momo.
I'm really glad you...
Hi.
See? when you see Roy, you don't expect to hear a beautiful lady voice when the caller responds, just saying. But now, back to Frank's beautiful poem. Were you here in time to hear that poem? I don't know how long you were on hold. Did you get to hear Frank read? Roy? Okay. How about if I get a comment from my suite, please?
Oh, I think this is just stunning. It's so, like, right there. She's gorgeous, and she's got the tiger, the powerful tiger, to say, "You will bow for my queen," you know, just right there. And I like how, you know, she rises to her feet to be feared, but, you know, just the dark stripe, not free, his long tail of masculinity, his sharp teeth of rusty. Like, Lord help you if you have a mess with this queen, because it will rip you to shreds. But, you know, they're all there. They're, you know, like the, like you said, the last stanza, where they all look on in admiration. There's no, you know, kind of anything but that reverence and that admiration, because there's such beauty there. Because, you know, you put it all together, her soft caramel skin, her beautiful, proud, brown eyes. I just think it's gorgeous. Between your colors and everything you put together, it's like this proud, proud tribal instinct, and it's all there, the strength, the beauty, the reverence, and I think it's just put together stunningly.
Well, thank you very much, Steph. Thank you, sweet.
Awesome comment. And Dave Prophet, please.
Yeah, when you look at the banner picture here, it's just full of colors, lots of reds and blacks and blues and golds and browns and that. And the poem reflects that, you know. It's a very colorful, picturesque poem. I like the first stanza really well. Majestic claws and paws, a mighty beast of the jungle, greeted from the wildlife, he poses with his long tail. It's a marvelous piece. And before the colors of crimson and tangerine bright horizon, above the turquoise waterfalls and amethyst crags of a cliff. That's a real descriptive stanza right there. It sort of pans the spotlight around on the environment that this poem is about. And it's, I don't know, it's just a marvelous piece. I think you did real good on it, Frank.
All right, appreciate that, my friend. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. You bet.
Awesome comment. And Linda?
Yeah, Frank, good job. Beautiful. You created such a strong example of the tiger's rule with Queen by his side. With his vivid dark stripes, his auburn and ivory coat, his long tail of masculinity, his sharp teeth of ferocity. That was a wonderful description of the tiger. And I think that you wrote a kind of a love
thing here between the king and the queen. Wonderful imagery, and you know, I don't want to get into a lot of technical stuff tonight, but you had bright imagery in this. Great work to the photo prompt, and it was just glorious. Thank you for sharing it.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, my dear.
You're very welcome, Frank.
And Hatter?
Yeah, like, this is a little different than your normal structure, being that you're describing the photo more. I like that you gave her brown eyes, a little nuances from one brain to another, and you gave her brown eyes. I thought that was good because the way you could tell. I've always been fascinated with the Tarzanian storyline of having a lion or a tiger or an elephant, your sidekick, your friend. That would be awesome. All these poems, and this one especially, brought that out. I'll take a sidekick of a single tiger. Yeah.
I would too, my friend, as long as we're not bitten there. We can wake up next morning. We're okay.
Yeah, as long as you were trusted and didn't have to fear.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you very much.
Awesome comments. And did I let Linda comment?
Yes.
I know
okay.
that you've got more poems to read. I've got to go. I'm going to stop by really quickly with Stephen and call a night afterwards.
Okay, well, I appreciate you calling. Another great poem,
yeah.
As always.
Yeah, and sorry for dropping. I don't know what happened. I dropped twice. I don't know why, but
no,
I apologize for that.
It's not your fault, and I appreciate you dialing back when the studio drops you.
Yeah, always my pleasure. Take care, my friends. Love and respect always.
See
back
you,
at you, Frank. Good night.
Bye, Frank.
Take care.
Bye, Frank.
Again.
Okay, now I'm a little bit bummed because Rory tried twice and it seems, I don't know if it's dropping her or what, she's coming in through her email. So I'm a little bit bummed. Okay, but here's where we are. I'm looking for my suite. I know I have her. There she is. Okay, we have Suite who is here to read. Then we have, I'm going to read for Crystal. We have Gerald's recording, Frank's recording, and then two poems that need a reader. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 poems, and we're done. So I am going to grab my sweet poem.
Ooh.
And take it to the board. And there's the link. Okay, dear heart, take us away.
All right.
Who are we doing?
Oh. Right now we're doing Sweet Pea. Then we're going to do Crystal,
okay.
Gerald, Phil, Iris, and Roy.
Cool.
Just me. This is a long poem. I haven't written a long poem in a while. So this is an alabaster shadow. Elise watched the bluish-gray waves wash the sand from her toes. As the terracotta sun said goodnight to the last day of summer, Elise turned and let her turtle and her smile swim away. Elise stood in the doorway of her home, 24 degrees below zero. She gathered her year's dish for sand by the waterfall, watchful of the great white bear and his woolly claws. Attica watched from his cave as he prepared to hunt. He was uneasy, had a weird hunch. Poachers sniffing for wildlife made his ivory skin chill to the bone. Attica stood over 6 feet tall, sloshing through icy waters, fishing below and above frozen and running waterfalls. Food was scarce, and he looked every day of his life. Attica saw her over the ledge, a raging red flame dancing in the wind, a winter's flower bright against the stark
blanket of white. Attica claimed Elise his princess and claimed her his wife. Elise saw Attica 1 second before his snow white fur turned crimson from paw to his shocked onyx eyes. Elise screamed and ran towards the giant white bear. She stepped with him into the cold night air. She tended to his wounds and sang him the great prayer. On the fourth night, the great spirit came to her in a dream. Elise, my child, Attica is your guardian spirit. He is a prince waiting to be loved by you. Tomorrow, some cemetery, you decide to make him a man or leave him a bear with a kiss. Elise went home and prepared for the night, dressed in the traditional wedding gown of her tribe. She waited for Attica to wait for the kiss of his life. End poem.
Wow. Epic. Epic,
yeah.
epic. What detail.
Well, I guess. No kidding.
From everything, from the bluish-gray waves in the sand, from the terracotta sun, gorgeous, gorgeous. She gathered her gear to fish for salmon by the waterfall, watchful of the great white bear and his mighty claws. Sniffing for wildlife made his ivory skin chill to the bone. What was the other?
Polar bears' skins are black.
It turned crimson from paw, his shocked onyx eyes. Alas, he screamed and ran towards the giant white bear. The fact that she ran towards and not away is so awesome. And then the quote there, my child, it's your guardian spirit. He is a prince waiting to be loved by you. The hell with kissing a frog. Look at that beautiful bear.
Okay, so I'm going to do what I normally don't do, and that's read the author's notes. Is in the Inuit legends, which is the an Indian tribe, polar bears are often used as princesses or great men disguised as polar bears. And this is kind of inspired by one of their stories, which is East of the Sun and West of the Moon. And Elise is Alice in the Inuit language, and Attica is guardian spirit. So.
Oh, cool. So it's an Alice poem after all that. Wow. I think this is so awesome, and the fact that you just add some more dimension to the story by the piece in your author's notes is really awesome, and to use one of your own words, quite stunning there. But I love it all, stanza after stanza, but the quote part where we finally reveal that he's a prince waiting to be loved was like, wow, it's charming and whimsical. And you did do a disclaimer at the beginning that you don't usually write love poems. And, hey, they both survived. There's no blood. There's no – he didn't decapitate her. He didn't eat her for dinner. So, like, beautiful, unexpected, clever, a bag of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. A great surprise, just like my sweet. Hell of a job.
Thank you.
Hatter, my comment for sweet?
If you're gonna choose a beast, why not the apex predator on the flipping planet? Blubber lover.
Thank you.
I liked it. I love the you did some research, or did you know this already?
Yes.
You knew it already?
Cool.
Go ahead.
I was asking if you researched this, or did you already know there was a tale of
No, I had no idea, but I had to figure out why some chick was going to kiss a polar bear. So I went and looked at it.
Cool. I liked it.
Awesome. And David, will you comment for Sweet?
Oh, I'd love to. I just loved every line of the poem. I thought it was really cool. I like the storyline especially. And we kind of got thrown a left hand or left curve there a little bit when somebody shot the bear or harpooned him or whatever happened there. One second before his snow white fur turned crimson to claw to his shocked onyx eyes. My heart kind of went to my chest or jumped up into my mouth or whatever. And I thought, oh, God, no, please don't let this bear die. And then she pulls and turns it around down here on the last couple of stanzas. I didn't know that about that legend that she spoke of, about the bear being a prince man, great man, whatever. I thought it was a beautiful poem. And, Sweet, you have a really cool way of telling stories, and I think you did a hell of a job, even though you don't write very many love poems. I think you did real good on this one. And it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. I just can't say enough about it. I'm going to put this on my list. God, gorgeous.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Excellent comment. And Linda, please.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Very spiritual. And I love that, the love came in the end after, the story of the polar bear. It's amazing that the stories that come out of the Alaskan history. I know that here in Homer is a spiritual hot spot where all the tribes used to come to pray thousands of years ago. They would all come, all of them, and pray together for a single thing. And this poem showed a lot of that, the history and aromas of the Hawaiian or Alaskan people. But I think you did a really good job creating this suite. I really liked it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Awesome comments, everyone. An amazing poem suite. Okay, we've got three that need to be read and two recordings. So I'm going to read this one for Roy. You guys will click on the poem. That's where we'll go now.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep. I am.
Okay. All right, cool. This is called No End of Desiring You by Roy KBMW. And here we go. Crimson cream jungle snarling, crossed host breath the crawling. Wildlife woods, hairs on bricks, of poachers, salmon, devil's tricks. Curly, candid, cotton fur, hail the king, deck of cards, topaz red, tail teeth, as strong a sword as war seen. Cobalt roots of skin, fall darker upon coffins. Autumn wheat and winter woman, hailstorm as nights aspiring. Blonde, bloodied bird striking, be the vampire, be the queen. End poem. Wow. I'm absolutely blown away by the fact that a big bulk of those words are word bank words, and then a few more thrown in, and they're laid out great. The images, the colors. I like a poacher's salmon, devil's tricks, curly, candid, cotton fur. It was like almost a tongue twister. but like I said, full of vivid colors and stuff. Autumn wheat and winter woman, hail storm, as night of fire. And I think it came out really great. I mean, she tried to get through a couple of different times. I don't know if it just kept dropping her. It would have been nice to hear it in her beautiful voice instead of my own, but I think that the brevity came out excellent. And thank you for trying to get through and for writing for the prompt and sharing this. And I also see there that it's already won an honorable mention award, so congratulations on that. Fantastic use of that beautiful photo. Let me get you some comments. How about I start with my sweet?
Oh, I think this is actually stunning. She did a really great job with the alliteration in this and just bringing this all together. It's such really great imagery in here, too. Hailstorm is night as firing, blonde bloodied birds striking, be the vampire, be the queen. Oh, I just love that imagery in there. I especially love, you know, those last lines, blonde-blooded bird striking, be the vampire, be the queen. Just love that, the boldness of those words. I think that's just great. Very, very well done, Roy.
Awesome comment. And Dave, please.
Well, I agree with everything that Sweet just said about it. It's fantastic, and I agree with her. I like those last two lines. I like it. They just jump right off the page and slap you around a little bit. Cobalt, roots of skin fall darker upon coffins. That's cool. Those two lines there, I like that. This thing is not very long, but it's long enough to do the prompt justice. It's kind of spooky in an odd sort of way, I think, but it's intriguing. It really intrigued me while you were reading it, Deb, which I thought you did a good job on it too, by the way. I really like the way it sounds, you know, to the reader. And
I don't know if the light keeps coming on and going off.
I'll
tell her right now.
Is the air still
going? Whatever that was.
Yeah.
I think
anyway.
All right.
Don't think she doesn't know.
I'm sorry. I muted her. I'll tell her when she's done.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Anyway, it was an outstanding poem. That's, you know, I got interrupted in the middle of what I was saying about it. But anyway, that's what I thought about the poem. It was beautiful, really nice.
Awesome. And let me let Linda back in.
Great comment, Dave.
Thank you.
Sorry,
Thank
Linda.
You.
I had to mute you because we could hear your conversation.
You know what? I thought I was muted. I apologize for that. I was having problems with my oxygen, and I had to have my husband come in. But I thought I was muted, so I do apologize.
Totally understand that it happens. Yeah, absolutely. We totally understand. I wanted to point out one more thing before I the other day I got a message on the board thanking me because she got a 10 for this. And I'm looking on the side here, and if you see, it's on a couple of lists, one of which is now mine. I put it under my brevity list. But she has a folder called I Got a 10, and this is her first one. So I'm so excited for her. I'm so excited that it's from my word banks and stuff. I love when people are excited, whether it be because of the score or because of the reaction somebody got, or it's just, I'm really, really, really thrilled for you. Excellent. Now, Linda, did you get to hear this poem? Did you want to comment before you move to the next one?
I sure didn't No, I sure didn't, because I was having problems with my oxygen machine, and I just didn't get to hear it. And I have to apologize right now because I'm going to have to go. But I'm sure it was a lovely poem. It was Momo, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I apologize to you, Momo, that I can't comment right now, but I'll catch you on the flip-flop. But I love you guys. Have a good night.
Feel better.
Love you back. Thanks for calling. Feel better.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to say something about that picture.
Go ahead.
Look, if you everybody take a good look at the picture, zoom in on it a little bit. What's the thought bubble there? I got the perfect line. So you decided to break my heart. So you decided to break my heart, huh?
Okay.
No, come on, give me something. What's the thought bubble there?
Well, actually, you know what? The thought bubble idea is kind of fun, but I don't know how long the studio will keep us since we're 6 minutes over. So I want to try and get these last.
Sorry, I didn't know we were over. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I didn't realize until just this moment either. But okay, Sweet, will you read for Crystal?
I sure will. Makes You Stronger by Crystal Hope. Eye of an orange wildlife tiger, flight of a crimson butterfly, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger unless you don't try. Jump the snarling platinum waterfall, pull the problem from the clawed roots, beckoning from a lava call. Tangled in life's teething, snakes trying to break free. Ebony elephant on my chest. Rhinoceros horns weighing on me. Lost in an evergreen forest, but I run faster than a cheetah. Struggling in the mossy grass, growing stronger with every step. There's nothing I can't get past. End poem.
Great read. Wow. I love the picture that she chose, of course, because of the butterfly. And like Crystal and I are self-proclaimed butterflies. From the first line, eye of an orange wildlife tiger, flight of a crimson butterfly. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger unless you don't try. So there's beauty, descriptions, and a message right there in the first verse or stanza. And then towards the end, ebony elephant on my chest, rhinoceros horns weighing on me. So there was some sadness and some pain there. And then at the end, growing stronger with every step, there's nothing I can't get past. So even with this sadness that I was hit with in the middle, Crystal always brings it back, whether she uses the word or not, to a little bit of hope at the end. Because, you know, there's nothing I can't get past, leaves you hopeful for it. So, like, Crystal's another poet that just gets better and better all the time. And it's, like, sometimes staggering the level of brilliance that we hang around with night after night and the poetry. And this is one of those examples of the enormous story and feeling that you can get from your pen. It shows the strength of the pen. It shows the power of the writer and the growing creativity. Great piece, Crystal. Beautiful read, Sweet. You want to comment?
You know, I really thought about the poem and the picture and the poem and the picture and some of the things that she's saying. And, you know, my thought to her is, why would a butterfly be afraid of a tiger? The most delicate creature is fearless against the most powerful. And she made me think about the many other situations in my life where I have to say, am I the butterfly or the tiger? And why am I afraid of either? You know, I'm lost in an evergreen forest, but I run faster than a cheetah. I have an elephant on my chest, rhinoceros horns weighing on me. But
most delicate creature, is fearless against the most powerful. I mean, why would a butterfly be afraid of a tiger? I just, that the concept of the two is really mind-blowing if you really think of it. And I just think that's fascinating to me, and how she put that all down too. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger unless you don't try.
Yep. Brilliant. And again, great read. Thank you. Dave Prophet, will you comment for Crystal?
Unmuted.
Dave, are you muted?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was. Anyway, like I was talking to my dead mic again. I've been watching Crystal's writing develop from a few years ago when I first met her to where she is right now, and she's really making a lot of progress. I really like this third stanza here. It says, "Tangled in life's teething, snakes trying to break free, ebony elephant on my chest, rhinoceros horns weighing on me." Aside from the excellent rhyme and meter in this poem, I really like that third stanza because it's really, it really illustrates the way someone would feel. Sometimes we get the feeling why there's so much weight on our shoulders from life and everything, and then and she says, "Ebony elephant on my chest, black elephant on her chest, and rhinoceros horns weighing on me." Wow, you know. And then the last stanza down here, "Lost in an evergreen forest, but I run faster than a cheetah, struggling in the mossy greens, growing stronger with every step. There's nothing I can't get past." I like that last stanza because it shows determination, you know, and it shows a strong desire to get where she wants to go or to succeed in life, you know. And you don't see people talking about that very much anymore in these days, and that's kind of sad. But I think she did a hell of a job with only 87 words. Wow, you know. And then, of course, I have to agree with what Sweet said about the butterfly and the tiger, too. So all in all, this is an excellent poem. I thought it was really good.
Okay, we have three left. Excuse me. Two recordings and one that needs to be read. So this is by Phil the Poet. If you guys will go ahead and click on it, I'll push play.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called "Masha and the Bear." Masha's Revenge. Masha has become an absolute stunner among the Russian woodland folk, her blonde hair bouncing as she walks along with a basket full of berries. The men drool over her lustrous figure, but dare not ask her to go to the forest, for her guardian growls in the shadows, showing the sharpness of his canine teeth. One day, a poacher sent forth a scout to search out the den of the brown bear. But what he saw through the evergreen was a fair maiden eating honey with a grizzly. The news came to the ears of the hunter about how a girl tamed a wild beast with ease. His mind was made up. He would slay the beast, then ravage the voluptuous vixen for dessert. Sniffing the air, the bear senses danger coming beyond the plants in the north. Wildlife dispersed from the path of hungry men, rifles locked and loaded, seeking their catch. Masha watches from the shadow of a redwood. Birds flutter at the sound of a gunshot. A bewailing cry of a wounded animal fills the tangerine evening air with gloom. With a smoking gun, he turns towards the sobbing girl. But Masha becomes feral, starts to scratch and bite, digging her claws deeper within her enemy's ribcage, blood spraying upon the white field of wheat. By the waterfalls, she bathes naked, while the men watch from a distance, craving to touch her hourglass figure, but they know they will never dare. End poem.
Probably great.
Wow. Right? Between the story itself, the details, the wording, his voice. Oh, my goodness. There was a, what's the word? Look, a theatricalness, if that's a word, to his read. And it was like perfect.
Yeah.
It added to the, yeah, it added to the dimension and the fact that he was protective to the point where by the end she could bathe naked and knew that ain't nobody going to mess with her. Oh, my goodness. it was a front page pick 6 days ago. Congratulations on that, Phil. It's easy to see why, because this is impressive. I'm definitely going to have to save it. I actually think the poem is spectacular, but as far as the read, I think that's my favorite read of yours ever. You were more relaxed. You put emphasis and you put dimension, made us feel it as you read it, especially down to the so subtle sarcasm in your tone when you were saying about how they would never dare. There was viciousness in some of your wording and in tones in your voice sometimes. So this was like one of those total package kind of deals that I'm very impressed, very impressed. Although you always impress us, this is my favorite in the words and in the way you read it. Bravo. Wow. Hatter.
Yeah.
How about those?
Yeah, I'm the same way. They went on two of my lists, and it was written spectacularly, spot on. I loved the way he went right from blood sprayed on the white field of wheat, then to the bathing under the waterfall naked. That was a great transition because it didn't trip at all. Your reading it was outstanding, so nice job.
Great comment. Sweet.
I think there was an out-of-body experience with me and Phil this week. He wrote this, and I wrote something that ended with a kiss. I'm totally in love with his story. It's going on every list I own. This is the best thing ever.
Yes.
I mean, he's ripping out rib cages and spraying blood upon weakness. This is I don't know what happened in the universe, but I love this. Still, love this.
Awesome, dear heart. And Dave Prophet.
Oh yeah, this is. I love Phil's work. I've never read a bad poem from him. This was really cool. He starts out talking about Masha, this stunning Russian lady, and she's, you know, out in the woods, and then all of a sudden these guys decide that. Or one of them decides that he's going to have his way with her. And anyway, that doesn't fly very far, you know. And of course, I would have liked to have heard a little bit more about her, what she did with the guy, you know, that she got a hold of. But
the waterfall.
Yeah, it really was. And the last stanza sums the whole dang thing up. It says, by the waterfall she bathes naked while men watch from a distance. Yeah, I'll bet they do. Craving to touch her hourglass figure, but they know they will never dare. That's cool. Yeah, it was a really neat poem. I agree, Phil has a unique way of reading, and he does all of these poems justice when he reads. And I'd like to hear him read it in person sometime, but I've never heard him read it in person. So anyway, Good job. Nice poem.
Yeah, he's on the other side of the world.
Oh, he is? Oh, okay. I don't know where he lives.
Yeah,
I believe
they refer to it as over the pond, something like that. Okay,
yeah,
so now we have Gerald's left, and we have a poem by Iris 3, and then we are done for the night. So if you go ahead and click on Gerald, I will push play on that one. And here we go.
Queen Nzinga Bandi, version in red by Gerald Green. The darkest page of history remains unchanged for centuries. Its crimson ink cannot be blotted out with force or ease, and is the fault of evil Portuguese. With loaded guns, the men arrived in ships, kidnapping Africans for slavery. So deals were struck, creating local wars to harvest humans on Angolan shores. Nzinga came to them to strike a deal, bear her kingdom, but was not allowed to sit. She had her servant crouch before her, kneeling on the terracotta floor. His back became her chair while she discussed the future of her people. As she sat before the enemy, the jungle wept, while none but antelope and turtles slept. Her ebony demeanor and white teeth, along with claws and ivory jewelry, concealed a hurting heart within her breast. Because her humble people were distressed, she made the deal and stood before the man and slit her servant's throat to make a point as office floors and walls were splattered red. Her action showed the men what lay ahead. New kills for blood replaced old kills for meat, and wildlife fled to forests in her calm. The innocent were blown like tumbleweed and caged like deer in pens, as was agreed. The stories from this age are dark and told in whispers, hoping not to awaken old desires of poachers seeking human blood, who brought in wooden ships the slaving flood. What can't be quantified is how much pain resulted from this cream that slavers skimmed, amid the storm that's still today a breeze, initiated by the Portuguese. End poem.
Wow. Now, I know only because I was looking at the bottom here, you told this truth in a beautiful and haunting way. This is an incredible piece of work. I totally agree. And I love that let me see if I can find the photo that he wrote to, because I think it's very cool that he obviously looked at this photo and saw this amazing woman in it, because it was just like so perfect. And then when I see him put the real picture of this woman versus the one that was on the board, it's like, wow, now I see why he was drawn to it, because it gives him the opportunity to bring in that history. And I just put it on the board. There's the picture that he wrote to. And he turned it into this lesson about this amazing woman, this amazing queen. My goodness, his back became her chair while she discussed the future of her people. As she sat before the enemy, the jungle wept while none but antelope and turtle slept. Her ebony demeanor and white teeth along the claws of ivory jewelry concealed a hurting heart within her breast, because her humble people were distressed. So her compassion was there. Man, so much. But the stories from this age of dark and told in whispers, hoping not to awaken old desires of poachers seeking human blood, who brought in wooden ships the slaving flood. I think this is excellent. I mean, I don't care. The broken record syndrome, you guys blow me away every week. Gerald's one of those poets where you just never quite know which direction he's going to take. And like I said, to take this art and use it to tell the tale of this queen and to bring, to shine the spotlight on the sadness of the people being used and the blood spilled and the sadness and how she aches for her people. What a powerhouse poem. And always, always a great recording and very appreciated. Wow. Wow. Sweet, you want to go first?
Wow. You know, you kind of said it all. It's history. You know, I said this about Gerald before, that if we had people that could teach history the way he speaks history, it might actually mean something. If you're not sitting in front of a book and learning dates and names of dead generals, and you're actually getting something that you feel and you can taste and you can touch, and it brings out people and it brings out feeling and it brings out something you can remember. Maybe history would mean something to more people now, because this is something that you can taste, touch, feel, and bring a tear to your eye and know something. And it's got not one dead general in it. History is important, and yeah, names and dates and all that are important, but we never find people. We never find feeling. And this is feeling and people, and it's done so eloquently. And that's one of the things I really enjoy about Mr. Green, and this is another one of them. And I would have loved to have him teach history to me the way he writes poetry. It's just, as I always say, stunning.
Brilliant comment. And Dave Prophet?
Yeah, I agree with what Sweet said about this. Our kids in school nowadays are not getting a very good dose of history, and what they do get is exactly what Sweet said, names and dates and dead generals, and that just bores the hell out of me. I never was very good in history because of that, and this putting this into a poem like this is informative. You know, I didn't realize that the Portuguese were up to this sort of stuff. Now I know. You know, the whole poem is really, really good storytelling, you know, and but it's factual, and that's really nice to see. I really do wish that we could get instructors in our schools nowadays to teach history this way. You know, you talk to some kids and you know, half of them don't believe that there was ever a Holocaust, and the other half of them don't believe there was any such thing as Pearl Harbor. I don't know how the hell that gets misconstrued and turned around and left out. But anyway, I'm getting off the poem here. I thought this was a beautiful poem, and I like the way Gerald writes, and he's always a surprise. So anyway, that's my 2 cents on it.
Great comment. And Heather?
Yeah, anytime in history, different countries have different history taught to their kids. And I think it all washes out even when they get to college. But that's not uncommon. And it's a shame, but it's just the way it was. It's not our fault. It was somebody else's decision. Yeah, this is a great poem on tragedies that I had heard before. One of the biggest demeaning thing was an African queen becoming a slave alongside her servants. I had heard something about that before. Yeah, it wasn't tolerable or something. Very good.
Awesome comment. Okay, so I I guess I will read the last poem, and then we will push the shows coming up and sign out. So if you guys would go ahead and click on Iris, I will read for her. And this is called Through Sapphire Mists by Iris 3. Here we go. The wizards brewed oxblood red vapors, spilling dark spells on green jungles. Their devilish minds threatened to capture the untamed wildlife of pristine woods and turn them into puppets of their clan. The king bear saw lurking danger, called with his growl the woodland guardian. A charm caster stepped inside the forest, enveloping evergreen canopies in blue mists, a shimmering haze to coat the land within the protection of her auroral magic. Silken navy gowns covered her ivory skin as waving winds flowed upon chestnut hair, her hand comforting the bear's brown fur, leading him quietly to a sapphire glade. Upon the lake's cool water, she stepped, swirling the translucent liquid with her fingers, drawing out onyx birds from the air, and followed the bear to the wizard's cave, his paws crunching the cold grass beneath ebony shadows. He led the path to the den that sheltered the venomous brew that birds flapped their wings, flying inside. As they glided inside, the forest lit up under the protection veil of the enchantress, as her crimson lips whispered invocations the birds slashed, and each wizard, sniffing his way back to the lake, the bear bowed down to his charm caster as they roamed the woodlands each midnight. End poem. Wow. What an enchanted story here. From the very first sentence, the wizard brewed ox blood red vapors, spilling dark spells on green jungles. So I knew we were in, we were up for some type of story, some kind of fantasy realm. And I love the couplet, the king bear saw lurking danger, called with his growl, the woodland's guardian. So it's got like a mystical feel. It's got vivid, beautiful descriptions and details. It's got we're forced into sympathy for the bear crunching his paws in the cold grass, but yet staying right there on the way to the den with the venomous brew. So it's just like bravery and beauty and. The enchantress is a clever idea. And I love, for some reason, the expression of there being this charm caster that roamed the woodland each midnight. So it was like a legend, I guess is the best way to describe it. I thought it was a beautiful story. And it was my honor to read for you, Iris. And I see it's also a bronze medal winner. So congratulations on that. Beautiful work. Thank you for writing for my show. Appreciate it very much. Sweet?
I think it's a beautiful story. It's filled with such detail and the metaphors and the imagery. I mean, you're just entranced in it. And I can't think of a better word than, like, entranced. You just want to continue, and it's a beautiful read. I mean, mesmerized by your voice, too. But the words, drawing out onyx birds from the air, and followed the bear to the wizard's cave, as it glided inside the forest lit up. I mean, the way she tells the tale, all the interesting things that are in it, but yeah, it's a gorgeous poem.
Beautiful comment. And Dave Prophet?
Well, I thought he did a really good job of setting up a storyline in this poem. And he developed it, this charm caster entity, whomever it is, it makes it legendary almost, you know, like you said, Deb. And sniffing his way back to the lake, the bear bowed down to the charm master as they roamed the woodlands each night. He did a really good job of addressing the prompt here. I noticed that there's a raven there. I don't know if there's an owl sitting there in the tree. It kind of looks that way. I can't see it really well. And then this nice-looking lady sitting on this great big bear. really interesting image there. Silken navy gowns covered her ivory skin. That's, gee whiz, light and darkness right there in that line. As waving winds float upon chestnut hair, her hand comforting the bear's brown fur, leading him quietly to a sapphire glade. Boy, that whole stanza there is just riddled with color, you know. Really a picturesque poem, one that was really well thought out and had a good solid storyline to it. It was engaging. I just thought he did a hell of a job on this.
She sure did. Thank you, David. And Harry, you want to make the last comment for Iris?
Yeah, what a picture. Stroll out of the woods. I mean, you see a lot coming at you. Yeah. It's the word of the night, charm caster.
I agree. Yeah. Excellent piece. Well, I thank you all. And before I do my little speech, let's talk about what's going on. Again, tomorrow night, we showcase the one and only Dave Prophet. So I have no doubt that the Dark Mother will make more than one appearance. So that
oh, yes, she
a,
is.
A great, right?
yeah, she'll be there. So, she'll be there with bells on.
I have no doubt. Looking forward to it. And Hatter will be the host.
Oh,
and we will... Don't forget that glass of ice water because we're going to have you read for us, David. It's going to be a fun-filled night with conversations and your details and your images and your storytelling. I expect that we'll all be dazzled by the end of the show. And
I'm just beside myself.
You know, it's funny. The night before these and then the day of the showcase show, I find person after person makes a point of saying how nervous they are. And it's just like I was nervous. It was like I had never done a show in my entire life when you guys did my tribute show. I don't know what it is. I would much rather be singing the praises of every one of you than you know, being in the spotlight. So it's precarious, but it will be a brilliant show. I'm looking forward to it again, 8 to 10 Eastern tomorrow. And then on a special night for the first week of the month, we have Sweet on Wednesday. Do you know
cool.
what's happening this week?
Yes, I'm actually going to be doing what's the first thing that popped in your head?
Uh-huh.
You don't want to know.
That's scary.
Yeah.
PG-13.
Yeah, that is.
Well, pretty much it's going to be mostly probably open poetry. So, you know, first time I'm done doing a Wednesday, kind of talked about it today, so we're just going to put it out there. So whatever you bring me, I'm happy.
That works.
Cool.
And,
cool.
And as it turns out, our Sweet Pea is oh so amazing and doing this swap because the only night that Crystal has now that she's always off is a Thursday. So letting her do this one. And then I figured the other trades we would stick to the fact that it's the first week of the month, but it would be on a Tuesday so that you can you said they were your best 2 days. So, you know, we'll talk more about that later. And I don't know what Crystal has planned for Thursday, so just keep an eye out for the topic board because I'm sure she'll put something up when she's done work. and that ought to be awesome. And then I believe that Friday night is Lady A. I'm double-checking that right this minute just to be sure. I'm sorry. Friday night is the rain date for the Chickamauga Pro game against Wayne and Lady A that the studio wouldn't let us in for last month. Lady A is next Friday. So we have Showcase for Dave Prophet at 8, Tuesday. We have Sweet Pea with Open Poetry at 9 Eastern on Wednesday. We have a show with Crystal at 9 Eastern on Thursday and Tic-Mac Poe on Friday. And then one last push is for Saturday, Hatter Day with me and Hatter and AP, and the topic is rain.
Rain.
So, yeah, rain.
That's all it's rain. Doing here.
Yeah, it's raining here, too.
Whoa, it's raining. It's raining everywhere, and it's not raining men. And one last push for Monday. I worked really, really hard on this topic for Monday. I gave everyone their own personal picture. I gave everyone their own personal crayons, their own personal word bank, and their own personal line from a song. So if you just click on the topic and find your name and click read more, you will see your photo, your crayons, your lyrics, and your word bank. And I can't wait to see what you do with my choices for each of you. And always, always, always
fun.
Remember that if you hate the photo that I put, don't worry. I've got dozens more with your name on it. Just tell me. I promise I won't get mad at you. Now, at this time, I would like to say what a spectacular show. You guys are just – I stand in awe of you every single week. Thank you to Hatter for being there always, always, always. Appreciate it. And thank you to Dave Prophet and Liquid Damage Linda and Wayne Gent and Lady A and Steven and Frank and Sky, Sky, Sky and my Sweet Pea and Roy for trying. And even though you kept getting dropped, you kept trying. And thank you for the recordings, Kay and Phil the Poet and Gerald Green. And thank you for the poems, Crystal and Iris 3. Amazing show. Right now, A Poetic Slice is live at the Mortuary of Shadows with a serial killer, creepy guy. And I'm putting I'm putting the number and the link for that on the board right now. On that note, I am going to take us out of here with the same song that we started with, and that was by David Bowie. It's called Cat People, Putting Out the Fire. Here we go. Love and respect, everyone. See you tomorrow.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, Deb.
Bye. Good night, Dave. Good night, Heather.
Good night. Sweet. Good night, Heather.
Good night.
Good night, John Boy. Good night, Mary Ellen.
Don't you know my name?
and I've been putting out fire.
Love and respect. Good night.